We're checking in with the Fort Mill School District. Once a week, we find out what's going on in one of the four public school districts in York County. Joe Burke is the Chief Communications Officer for Fort Mill Schools. And good morning to you, Joe.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
What do you know?
Sometimes it feels like not very much, but I'll do my best.
Now, you always come armed with facts and figures and great information. And we're going to start with some great news for one of our elementary schools in Fort Mill.
Yes, Pleasant Hill Elementary School had a big announcement. They were selected as a National Blue Ribbon Lighthouse School. For some people out there who are familiar with the term blue ribbon, just so you know, several years ago, they kind of split the blue ribbon into two parts. So that's where the Lighthouse School came from. So again, it's a very rigorous program that the kids go through, or the schools go through, an application process. And it looks at a number of factors in the schools, and it is a very prestigious award. And we're very proud again to have another one of our schools winning it. We've had several schools that have won it in the past, and just glad to see that continuing to move forward. So congratulations to Pleasant Hill Elementary.
So there's a somewhat of a difference between a blue ribbon school and a blue ribbon lighthouse school?
Yeah, they when they made a changeover, they kind of had each of them focus on different areas of the school. So so that's where it came from. And again, but they're both very, like I said, very rigorous processes. A lot of work and time goes into that, not only to show off the things that you're already doing, but just the preparation alone for making to getting this done. There's surveys that are done that are sent out to the families, those kinds of things. So there's a lot of input and data that goes into it. And again, it's a very prestigious award. We're very proud of the school for putting this together and,
when you
and
win,
being
you
selected.
You get lots of banners.
Yes,
and like a rug.
Banners. They're going to get to go to a conference and get their awards. Yeah. So yeah, it's a big deal. So
I went to a blue ribbon school in Charleston one time. There was this big, they made this big deal about this rug. It was like you got to walk the cart. You know, it was like the blue ribbon carpet, and there was banners everywhere, and it's fun. It's fun for the kids.
Yeah, yeah, it's an absolute great honor for both the staff and the students over there.
And Joe, can schools get both honors, or do you?
Yeah, sure. You could apply, but honestly, like I said, it's a very in-depth process. So, you know, you probably pick one and go with it. I know a couple of other schools that are going through the application process right now. So, but yeah, you probably generally go back and forth.
So the release here said they look at 9 categories ranging from student focus and support to active teaching and learning, technology integration, leadership and education volatility, school, family, community partnerships, and just many others. So they're just really looking at this to, one, it's always great to have a third party with no interest, and I don't mean that way, with no buy-in.
No, yeah, absolutely.
It's a blind eye coming in and just seeing where you can improve and what you're doing great from another part of the country.
And I think one aspect of it that's really cool is while they're looking at our school, they're looking at many, many other schools across the nation. So while it's not necessarily a pure competition side, you really are kind of getting a little bit compared to other schools they're going to see. So, you know, to be selected, I think, is, again, a very big honor for the school and very proud of them.
Joe, let's get the latest on the superintendent search for the Fort Mill School District.
Yes, at the school board meeting last Tuesday, the board officially voted to engage with BWP and Associates. They're a national search firm. They've represented other districts in South Carolina. I think most recently they worked in Horry to help them identify their superintendent. They're going to be helping lead the search process, and we're already off and running on that. We had some news releases that went out announcing them, but I'm in the process of working with them now about how we're going to deliver some surveys here very soon, possibly later this week, to our parents, staff, community, all of that, so they can get feedback on what the community is looking for in a superintendent. They're already in the process as well of planning some community stakeholder events where they'll invite people in it to come in and share that information directly with their people and have conversations back and forth. And then that process will then move forward to helping to identify candidates that will be brought in, possibly for interviews and those kinds of things. So that process is ongoing. We've created a webpage on our website now that where we're going to house all of the information to keep the public up to date on this and share survey links and stakeholder meeting times and all of that. So please go to our site and keep an eye on it. There's not much there right now because we're just getting up and running, but the page is there, so you can go there and bookmark it so you can check back on a regular basis.
And is the goal still to be able to have a superintendent in place, hopefully by May,
yeah,
early June?
At the board meeting, Lippy Pratt, who's been selected as a spokesperson for the subcommittee, read a statement, and one of the things she talked about was their goal is to have someone announced by May leading into June so that we would have a kind of a natural transition period as Dr. Epps transitions out of the superintendent role at the end of the school year in June. But again, as we talked, he's going to still be around until December to help out with that. But yeah, the goal would be to have if someone announced to have them coming in to basically start that fresh rollover for the next school year.
Of course, we know Rock Hill School District and the York School District are also looking for superintendents, and they've also looked at other firms to kind of help in that search. Joe, with that being said, it's really hard, I guess, for the board just to put the position out there and have everybody apply, because these firms, I guess, get the stuff, they kind of go through and weed through the potential clients, I guess.
Sure. What the firm's goal is to do is be able to, like I said, gather that information from the community, from the staff, from parents, from general public, and kind of identify what they think are the key values or key beliefs or however you want to term that in a superintendent that our community is looking for. From that, they will take that to kind of help filter out what the candidates is coming through. I mean, if you think about it, if you didn't go through a process like this and you just open it up like you do for a traditional position, I mean, you could end up having hundreds of people applying, and mm-hmm. trying to get through that might be a little bit tough. So, you know, they're there to assist the board in filtering out and finding the proper candidates that they would like to move forward in the process. Obviously, there's no automatic disqualifiers for anybody who's applying for it, but you know, this is a way to kind of help filter it down to those candidates that fit what they're hearing from all of those different stakeholder groups as to what we're looking for in a superintendent.
And while all of the districts are different in their own right, mm-hmm. all four, and especially the three of the four, are different, is there any, I don't want to use the word uneasiness, and we can ask the other PIOs this when they come in too, but is it harder, do you think, with three of the four vying for the best fit? Like right now we have three in our county that need superintendents. Is the pressure on a little bit?
Maybe a little bit, but I would say that number one, as you mentioned, all the districts are different. If you start looking at the different issues that they're all facing, us with our rapid growth, you got York that's more of a rural area, Rock Hill is more of our city type atmosphere. All of us have very different student populations and those kinds of things. While it is highly unusual for this many to be, you know, have three open in a four school district county, I think that while we'll see some crossover in superintendents, I think you're going to see a little bit differences in all the different things that each district needs, just based on where they're at currently with what's going on in their community, their community makeup, all of that stuff. So I don't know that it's a detriment. It might even be a positive that you're having these jobs out there. That means more people are going to have eyes on York County. They may hear about one of the jobs and go, oh, you know, that's great. Oh, wait, I fit this one better. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think that while you've got three different searches running at one time, it poses some challenges, but it also, I think, could ultimately be a benefit for the district.
It's a great way to look at it.
Great question, too. And they'll all start at the same time. So there'll be some buy-in for all three of them to kind of really work together. They all do. Yeah. But for these three, they really are going to probably rely a lot on Dr. Sheila Quinn and Clover to kind of help.
She's going to now be the elder statesman in the district for sure.
She's great.
You know, and the other thing too about all of this is that, and you're going to hear the same things from all the PIs when they come in, they're going to be in very similar stages. Like you said, these are all going to run concurrently. But I don't think that there's necessarily any kind of, you know, competitive feeling in this, because I think everybody's looking for what matches them, not necessarily to, you know, be in competition with another district.
It's very different. And then Joe, we'll wrap up with some of your students in the media department at your three high schools competed in a competition this couple of days ago in Florida, and they came back with a lot of honors.
Yeah, this is obviously something very dear to all of our hearts. Our media programs, and that when I say media, I mean that full encompassing. We have students who do newspaper, we have television broadcasts, we have live broadcasting in our schools through our media programs, we have podcasting, all of that stuff. Like, the kids have really branched out in our programs and done everything, and congratulations to all three high school programs. Each of them came back with different honors and different categories for their media programs that they've put out. I can't stress enough, having, you know, born and raised in South Carolina, gone through the school districts, I got my first taste of this in my journalism class in ninth grade, and it just stuck. So, you know, I think that this is something that's great to be able to have. Not only do we have the standard core courses, but to have these types of courses available for students to be a part of and learn these types of skills. And it goes beyond high school. We have media programs at our middle schools as well, too. And I think it's really cool that the kids get a chance to do that. And then also to be recognized at STN, the student news convention, for their wonderful work is just amazing for them as well.
We have two students from Catawba Ridge High School that are interning with us here at OTS Media. They were part of that competition, and they're going to be on this show, Palmetto Mornings, tomorrow, Wednesday. So we can't wait to catch up with them. But I agree. I mean, obviously, we're all three of us in this room are really invested in media, and the more they can learn it at this level, it just prepares them for what to expect when they enter the real world and the media landscape.
We'll be able to retire one
day.
Yes. Oh, that'd be great.
A new crop of people coming through. But one thing you mentioned there I think is really an important factor too is you have students that are interning in this. So that's the other thing these programs do. It offers them a chance, another avenue to get out and get real world experience in a job or in a career field. That they might not otherwise have if they were just focused on just the standard core courses. So, you know, having them to get that experience, and thank you guys for allowing them to come in and always providing that opportunity. So I just think it's, a wonderful addition to school programs.
That's a great partnership. Joe Burke is the Chief Communications Officer for the Fort Mill School District.